Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on how to pitch an Amen-style bass line for that VHS rave color inside Ableton Live 12. This is an advanced drum and bass move, but the goal is simple. Make the bass feel like it's speaking with the break, not just sitting underneath it. We're not going for fake retro nostalgia here. We're going for something more physical, more worn in. Think tape haze, warehouse pressure, ragga attitude, and that unstable jungle energy where the bass line feels like it was chopped, resampled, and lived with. The real magic here is that the pitch movement becomes part of the groove. It's not just a note choice, it's the hook. First thing, set yourself up properly. Create a MIDI track and load an instrument rack. Split your sound into two layers, a clean sub and a character-rich mid. For the sub, keep it dead simple. Use operator with a sine wave, keep it mono, and don't get clever with width. The sub is the pillar. It needs to stay stable no matter how wild the top gets. On the mid layer, load wave-eatable. You want something with strong harmonics, like a saw, pulse, or a wave-eatable that has some root edge in the upper mids. Don't make it too wide. In DNB, low-end smear is the enemy. Start with a tight setup and let the movement come from the notes and processing, not from unison chaos. Now bring in your Amen break on another track. It can be chopped or looped, but the point is to listen to the break before you write the bass. That's where the style gets its power. The bass should answer the break's accents. If the drums are doing a lot, the bass should leave space. If the drums are sparse, the bass can step forward a little more. Write a one or two bar bass phrase, but keep it rhythmic first and melodic second. Think in terms of conversation. Maybe you hit on the offbeat after the first kick. Maybe you place a note just before the snare. Maybe you hold a note into the end of the bar, then leave a gap for the drums to breathe. That call and response feeling is what gives the bass line its ragga energy. Here's a useful mindset. The bass is not a lead synth. It's more like a percussive speaker. Each note should land with intent. Short notes often work better than long ones. A short G, placed in the right pocket, can feel heavier than a long low note because it leaves more room for the amen to speak. Now let's make the pitch movement do some of the heavy lifting. In a VHS rave bass line, pitch is part of the personality. A root note is your home base. Then you can use small lifts and drops to create tension and reply. Try a simple set of moves. Root, plus 2 semitones, minus 2 semitones, and maybe a 5 semitone push if you want a slightly more urgent lift. Keep it small enough that it still feels like a bass phrase, not a melody. If you want extra movement, use glide. Wave-eatable and operator can both give you portamento-style slides, and that can sound amazing if you keep it tight. Around 40 to 120 milliseconds is a good zone. Enough to hear the pitch movement, not so much that it smears the timing. In this style, a little slide at the end of a phrase can sound like a vocal inflection or a DJ-style chant. A good trick is to make the last note of a phrase pitch up slightly, then drop back into the root on the next bar. That gives you a sense of momentum without needing more notes. And if you want it to feel more jungle authentic, let the second half of the bar rise a touch, like the bass is being re-triggered from a sample source. Once the MIDI phrase feels right, shape the tone. On the mid-chain, put saturator after wave-eatable. Start with just a few dB of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on if needed. Be careful with gain compensation. Don't let louder fool you into thinking it's better. You want more attitude, not just more volume. After that, add auto filter. Low pass mode works great here. Keep the envelope movement subtle unless you want a more plucky attack. You can automate the cutoff to open a little on a phrase entrance or on a switch up. That tiny bit of brightness can make the bass feel like it's leaning forward into the drop. If the sound is still too clean, add a touch of redux. Just a touch. We're after worn tape energy, not digital destruction for its own sake. Think of it like edge seasoning. A little bit can make the phrase feel more sampled and less pristine. Now comes one of the most important parts, the phrasing. Raggy influenced DNB bass often feels like a vocal line. It's clipped, it's direct, it says something and gets out. So in the MIDI editor, shorten most of the notes. Use velocity variation too, because velocity is tone control here. Lower velocity can give you a more hollow, clipped hit. Higher velocity can bring the note forward and make it feel more rude. Also, don't be afraid to shift one or two notes slightly late. Just a few milliseconds can make the bass lean into the drums instead of sitting dead on the grid. That tiny looseness can be the difference between a programmed loop and a groove that feels alive. At this point, play the bass against the amen and listen to the conversation. If the bass is masking the snare or crowding the ghost notes, pull it back. If it feels too polite, simplify the MIDI and make the rhythm sharper. Advanced DNB writing often comes from subtraction. not addition. Now for the VHS rave instability. Once the phrase is working, resample it. Record 4 to 8 bars of the bass to audio on a new track. Then slice it, and re-trigger the best bits. This is where the sound starts to feel less like a synth and more like an old chop sample. You can reverse a tiny fragment, pitch one hit up or down, or leave a little micro gap before the re-entry. Those little imperfections are exactly where the character lives. If you want even more of that tape-worn feeling, process the mid layer separately from the sub. Keep the sub mono with utility if you need to, and check your bass in mono early, not at thin end. Early, if the sub disappears or the bass feels thin, the issue is usually in the mid processing, not the sub itself. To make the bass wider without messing up the low end, widen only the character layer. You can use a subtle chorus ensemble, a short echo with filtered feedback, or a near static auto pan for motion. Just remember, stereo excitement belongs above the fundamental. The sub should stay planted in the center like a concrete post. If the kick and bass are fighting, sidechain the bass group gently with compressor or glue compressor. You don't want wild pumping unless that's a deliberate effect. You just want the kick and snare to have room to punch through while the bass sits back a little. Now automate the drop. This is where the bass line stops feeling like a loop and starts feeling like an arranged performance. Over the first 16 bars, automate at least 3 things: filter cutoff, saturation drive or output, and maybe pitch bend or transpose on selected notes. In the second 8 bars, open the filter a little more, add a touch more drive, and maybe make the final note of a phrase rise slightly. Those small changes create momentum. A really effective move is a switch up around bar 9 or 17. Pull the sub out for half a bar and let the amen hit alone for a moment. Then bring the bass back in with a higher answer note. That little hole in the arrangement makes the return hit way harder. Silence, or near silence, is one of the strongest tools in this style. When the bass bus is ready, treat it like a real DNB record. Group the sub and mid layers. On the group, use glue compressor lightly for cohesion. Use EQ8 if there is too much harshness in the upper mids. If the whole bass needs a bit more glue, add a touch of saturator on the bus, but don't overcook it. Distortion should enhance the phrase, not erase it, and always compare it to the drums. The kick and snare should stay sharp. The bass should feel like it lives under and around the break, not on top of the transient picture. If the tone gets metallic or nasal, reduce resonance before adding more dirt. For the arrangement, think like a DJ tool with character. An 8-bar intro with filtered drums, then a 16-bar main drop, then a 4-bar switch up, then another 8 bars with a new pitch variation. Keep the intro and outro friendly for mixing by thinning the low end early and late. Let the bass come in stages. First texture, then sub, then full call and response. If you want extra ragga flavor, imagine the bass as if it's answering a crowd chant. Direct, repetitive, slightly confrontational. That's the energy. It shouldn't sound overcomposed. It should sound like a statement. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the bass too melodic. This is not a song lead. Don't let the sub widen or wobble. Don't distort everything equally. Push the mid layer more than the sub. And don't ignore the amen's phrasing. The bass should answer the break, not cover it. If you want to get better fast, do the 15-minute practice version. Load an amen loop for 2 bars. Build a simple operator sub plus wavy double mid bass. Write a phrase using only the root, plus 2, minus 2, and 1 glide note. Make bar 1 answer the first snare. Make bar 2 leave a gap before the snare, then re-enter higher. Add saturator and auto filter to the mid only. Resample it. Chop 1 hit into a reversed pickup. Check it in mono. If you can make that feel good, you're already doing real work in this style. So the big takeaway is this: keep the low end solid, make the pitch movement part of the rhythm, phrase the bass like it's speaking with the break, and use resampling to inject that worn VHS rave instability. That's how you get a bass line that feels alive, rude, and properly tuned for an amen-led DNB drop. All right, let's build it.